If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine light and love of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, our topic is choices. Life is all about choices. Oh, well. Anywho, let's take a deep breath. And just choose to be present. Let everything else just fall aside. And just let's dedicate this time together to shift energy, to let go and release the things that are no longer working for us, and to reach into that higher nature, calling it forth by our own volition and choice. And let's do that right now. And as you access, bring in that higher self through a breath, a deep breath of intention. Ready? Deep breath. I call myself forward into the highest divine aspect of myself that I can possibly quicken at this time. I ask that any energies, anything that could be lifted from me and cleared at this time through divine grace, that that take place. I ask for the impartation and the revelation, the quickening and the activation of the codes of living light and sound that constitute my higher divine program, my higher divine blueprint. I take charge and command over my life stream as I choose back to be the light, the love, the power, and the will of God in expression through my human form. I know that my steps are ordered, that all things in my life work themselves together for good. For truly, I love God, and I am a bearer of light. And so in this way, you call yourself forward. You state your preference, your credentials, your upline, if you will. And you present yourself just like an officer presents himself before the drill sergeant, spit polished and all standing upright and strong. We are the only agency, beloved, by which this new earth is going to get birthed. We are the grunt team, the hands and the feet of the hierarchies and circles and cycles of divine light and grace. And so we, in a sense, have to pump ourselves up, don't we? We don't always feel like showing up and presenting ourselves. And that's a choice only we can make. We have to choose to step into our calling, our mission, our divine directive. And of course, people are free to choose not to do that. But I'm not talking to those kind of people. Those of you who have hung in and listened to these seminars now, we're into our fifth year, know that it's about spiritual accountability and self-mastery. and challenging those areas that just want to go to sleep and nod off into density and unconsciousness. We have to choose to enter and confront that spirit of stupor, that spirit of torpidity that would keep us mired in the sludge of lower consciousness and unaware of the vibrant life and joy that infuses this and every world in God's creation. Those of you fortunate enough to live in a place where you can see the sky, out in the deserts or in the more remote areas of the world, look up into the starry vastness. In fact, just imagine, as you close your eyes, that you're looking up into a starlit sky with so many worlds that you can't even count them, and you're only looking in the third-dimensional universe. Take a deep breath and breathe in the starlit particles of a myriad of worlds teeming with life. Ready? Take a deep breath. Fill yourself with those starlit particles of radiance. Breathe them into the cells of your body. Infuse your DNA, your cells, right down into the very mitochondria. Take charge and command of every atom and subatomic particle of your biosphere, all your subtle bodies, all the momentums, past, present, and yet to be, and consecrate them to the light of the Most High God in His Christ. And allow that new birth to take place in you this day, that renews you and regenerates you so completely that you go forth with a clear sky view, perceive through the eyes of your awakened self. You have that choice to embrace and receive vastness. Whenever you're tempted to cavil and collapse into non-awareness, collapse into status quo, or the ways things seem to be on the outer surface of life, challenge yourself to look in a different way. Reach into that part of you that has yet not been tapped into and evoke it forward. The art of self-evocation is very important. That's where you reach beyond your inadequacies and call forward a part of yourself that is always present, but is almost always ignored, as an option, as a choice, as an ever-present access point to something beyond your limitations. We can choose to disregard all of our beliefs that we are circumscribed and limited by anything, by age, by state of health, by position in life, by caste system, by culture, by religious constrictures, philosophical regimes, whatever, whatever. You are the sole authority over your choices. And though the body can be imprisoned, no one but you dictates the state of your inner consciousness. That is why people have survived the most horrendous, hellacious situations and have been able to emerge from them relatively unscathed. Why? Because they chose not to give in to the appearance, but to challenge themselves to go beyond and to reach into a strength far in transcendency of the situation in which they found themselves. So what does it look like to you when you are choosing beyond your limitation? If you're a very advanced soul, you have probably had the most difficult, challenging lifescape. Why is that? Because a skilled rider doesn't want to ride a wimpy horse, okay? And a soul that's in the last few classes of self-mastery wants to have a challenging life that just juxtapositions it in so many variables, with so many adversarial components, that it is constantly fine-honing its skills. Like, for example, a picture that's coming in my mind is a martial arts exponent, like a kung fu master, who is blindfolded and has to take out a whole array of opponents that come from all sides, solely by his intuitive chi force. Just imagine, if you will, the awareness that that takes. He's blindfolded. He's being attacked from all sides. And just by discerning the chi force, and in full mastery of his own chi, he is able to address and take out his opponents one by one, laying them low. In a sense, we are in exactly, as spiritual warriors, the same kind of an arena down here on the third dimensional earth plane. Everybody and their dog has shown up for this grand finale. The darkest agents possible, the most wicked, the most illumined, the most ego-driven, everything in between is there. And the choices that we are called to make are discerning exactly what we are going to come into agreement with and participate in. And bear in mind, whatever you pay attention to and buy into, you've come into agreement with that. And then it will be to you whatever you believe it is. For it is only done unto you as you believe. Your belief is what causes anything to be what it is to you. And so the exercising of conscious choice as to what you take on as a reality, as a belief, frankly, I don't know how anyone can embrace a belief system at a certain point of self-awareness and enlightenment. It's impossible. Why? Because you're working with a vital force that is shifting and changing every single second, a nanosecond. And that is what we call spirit, or the whole spirit. It's a dynamic, ever-creative, ever-oscillating and modulating field of possibilities, pregnant, untapped possibilities that are accessed when you step out of the box of belief, when you step out of the confinements of what you think you can't do, you can't take on, you can't buy into because you bought into some form of personal limitation. When you lay that tyranny of weakness aside and call yourself forward into that arena, you begin to access something that comes to you only when you walk into the unknown without agenda. Can you be naked? Can you be diaphanously simple and walk into the unknown naked without any agenda, without any prejudging, without any expectation, without any addictive demands? If you can, you're going to encounter that new thing that the Christ has come to reveal. You're going to walk in amazing things that are miraculous, that absolutely blow your socks off, that are going to leave you tingling with a vitality and a joy that you didn't even know was possible. That is what awaits you when you have the bodacious audaciousness to simply drop all of the coverings, all of the isms, all of the whatevers that you have placed around and named your knowing and your wisdom, quote, quote, and realize that you're a baby that knows absolutely nothing. Because that is what we're entering into. We're entering into a new earth where the human race itself is being born again collectively. This time of the spirit, not of the flesh and the blood. This is a spiritual birth of the crystalline consciousness that goes beyond the chemical iron-based blood that has birthed the flesh in the limitation field that we call the third density. The silicone diamond-based body that we have been preparing in that part of us that is still awake within the all that is, the spirit self, we have been preparing the seamless garment for a long time, the wedding garment, for that union with a wholeness that was simply forgotten but never lost. We lost sight of it, but it never left sight of us. So as we move into this new energy, and wow, do we have an exciting year ahead. Everyone's excited about 2012 for all many reasons. But we who are of the Light Brigade are excited because we have decided to use this particular time as the thrusting point into a new state of being. That is our collective agreement. So while others are planning for all sorts of lack and limitation and war and all stupid things, we are intently focused upon that not happening, that we will not have devastation, that we will not have a collapsing of all the world systems where we're brought back into primordial primitive states. You know what? We've been there. We've done that. We pretty much did that with the fall of Atlantis. And I think a lot of the fear comes from a genetic memory of that having happened before. But you know what? We're a great deal smarter than we were 10, 20, 15, 100,000 years ago in the previous root race. So now we are making other decisions. Who's making it? We are making them at a higher level, in which we're not asleep, we're not numbed out, we're not dulled out. We're very much awake, and we're trying to get the attention of our personality, human self. And the only way we can get through to that personality, that doodad down in the world that we call our human name, whatever that was that we were had tacked onto us when we were born, that one is what I'm talking about. Who we are as a higher self has to get into communication with that mind, that human being. And the bridge through which we are able to make that contact is the conscious choice of that human being to give wiggle room to us, to the higher nature. Now, many of you lightworkers are having happen to you what happened to me back in 1990, 91. My higher self in the future came in to overlay my personality at the time that was in the physical world. Some of you are having that experience right now. And it's a strange experience because it feels like you're dying. You would swear to goodness that you're dying, but you're not. It looks like you're losing everything. It's like everything slips through your fingers. It's like everything is like an ended cycle for you. It's like the momentum suddenly comes to a screeching halt, and you're left in like an abyss of wow, what now? With no possible alternatives in evidence. This being able to stop the momentums of what has been is actually like a graduation point where the doors of the past classrooms that you have exited because you've completed that learning curriculum, they're not open to you anymore. So when you try to go back into the past, you either fall into a void of not remembering, it's like that whole thing was erased, or you feel like you're back in the muck and mire where you're walking through quicksand. There's an actual sensation of being pulled back and stuck when you try to return to the old momentums. And there's if you watch your solar plexus in your heart, there is an actual sense of drop, a dropping that you feel inside yourself, a sinking feeling that people interpret in all variety of ways. It can cause all kinds of digestive upsets because you don't know how to digest the new energy, how to assimilate it. So a lot of the malaise and the physical symptoms that people are going through that they're calling, quote, flu, is not flu at all, but a case of trying to assimilate the new energies and finding the inability to digest because those enzymes aren't quite to where they can digest this richer fare. What causes us ready to digest the enzymes? You got to spend some time in the silence. You'll have to. If you have to put a sign on the bathroom door and sit on the toilet or take a long bath or sit in your car in the garage or go park yourself somewhere out in the field before you come home, do it. But take time to be silent with God. No agenda. Just say, God, this is my time to be with you. Do your God thing. Whatever I need, just do it. I'm open. Doesn't have to be any more eloquent than that. And allow the whole spirit to begin to deal with you and get your attention. Naturally, if you're a meditator and have built up a spiritual practice, then that's different. You're refueling, as it were. You're rebuilding a higher light quotient in your cells. But some of you that I'm speaking to are very advanced souls that haven't built in a spiritual practice yet because you've already come in a very enlightened state. But nevertheless, you're going to get mired down into these human mass consciousness momentums if you don't find a way to find your own spiritual self-definition first. And you're like 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years of age right now. I'm speaking to you. You do not commit suicide to return home, okay? Suicide just recycles you almost immediately back into another incarnation. And it's checked off as failure, okay? Don't go there. Don't contemplate that thought. You are designed to house a completely new consciousness that's being birthed on this planet. It doesn't come in under the karmic flow. It comes under the flow of grace. You can make choices outside of the box. You don't have to make choices inside the box. Many of you are leaving home at a very early age. Well, sometimes that's wise to do. I mean, I left home at the age of 13 to join the circus. Yeah, I toured in the circus from the age of 13 to 19, made my own living, and I didn't leave my, you know, I didn't run away to do that. But I sensed that if I stayed at home, I was going to get caught up in another's agenda, and I wasn't going to live the mastery potential that I knew came in with me to be exercised in this lifetime. So some of you that I'm speaking to are going to know exactly what I'm saying. And don't plan for a lengthy education. Your education is probably going to be in the school of life. because the job descriptions of the future aren't going to bear any resemblance to what we have now available. Obviously, I'm expecting a quantum leap in consciousness that is literally going to lead us and land us in a different arena of life experience. So I want to give you a keynote today of a choice of operative that I believe has a key to you. And it's this. It's joy. Joy is the result of gentleness. And gentleness is the result of trusting yourself, trusting your divine self, trusting the God self in which you live and move and have your being. You can put your own favorite label on it, okay? You know what I'm talking about, and I know what I'm talking about. It's the joy of connection to something greater than yourself that you know has everything handled. That releases you from a whole dump load of stress. Because if you look around at the people on the planet, very few of them are happy. Why? Because they're not present with their true self. They're operating out of the fictional self, the self of what they think others are expecting of them, or what they think they're expected to be for all variety of reasons. But you who come in as part of the vanguard of a whole new dispensation of light and awareness and actual physical life as it's unfolding and to be unfolded in the new earth, you actually sense that coming towards you, and if you're wise, you'll just sidestep it and let it go right past you. Don't allow it to find any hooks of insecurity in your field. I often say, if you have self-doubt, you don't need any other devil. So believe in yourself and trust yourself, and the power and magnificence of the Christ that dwells within you and the Holy Spirit that lives inside you as your conscience. Your better conscience is your God voice within you. Learn to direct yourself in alignment with that and be outrageously true to yourself, whatever comes towards you. Know that you are light and that you are immortal. And stay centered in your own energy field and respond from the truth as you know it. Truth is ever expanding into greater revelation, but truth is eternal and information is transitory. You can't find truth in the lower mind because it's always changing. You can only find truth in, let's use joy as our touch point. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So joy and actual life vitality that fires your immune system, keeps you healthy, gives you the energy to do miracles if necessary, is called in English joy. In Sanskrit, it's called ananda. And the body that you are learning to operate in is the highest of five bodies that are expansions and extensions of your physical body, your astral body, your causal body, your mental body, and your soul body. So your soul body or soul vehicle or ananda rupa is your joy body or your bliss body. Sometimes it's called the Atma. And sometimes it's just generically called the light body. But I want you to find a point where you can identify it physically right now. And it's identified as joy. So joy comes because you have trust in something greater than yourself. Everyone, whether or not they call themselves atheists, believe that they exist. That is the one common touch point for all people everywhere, is that when you speak to them, they will say, I am. They all know they exist. And so just go to the life force of your existence. And let's just define that as joy, as strength, as vitality, as health, as truth itself. Joy is truth itself. It is God. It is light. It is life. It is awareness. And joy is the single indicator that you've made a wise choice, that you've made a choice out of your higher nature. The immediate feedback is joy. Joy is not an effervescent, exuberant, woohoo kind of thing. Joy can be a very quiet knowing in the midst of the most awful circumstance that all is well. See if you can remember a time when you had that feeling, so that you have a place that you can relate to of what I'm talking about. Let's say all hell is broken loose in your life, your environment, you're without a job, everything's up in the air, let's just say. But regardless, there's like a substratum of joy. The best analogy, I think, is looking at the ocean and realizing that all the turbulence and disturbance is on the surface. But if you dive deep enough, it's very serene and still and quiet. And likewise, you have that serenity and that stillness in the depths of your being all the time. And it sings the song of the beloved, which is joy, 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 joy more abundant, joy ever flowing. And it just bubbles and wells up in you when you let go of the angst and the worry and the concern. When you quit trying to play God and you simply allow yourself to be like a flower. You know, a flower doesn't have any kind of stress about giving forth fragrance or opening up to the light. Some flowers, I love to watch sunflowers, their little precious face turns to follow the sun. And if our precious little faces could ever turn to behold the beloved, the face of the beloved, we would be in continual joy. Because those who are able to keep their focus upon the higher things, the higher awareness, the joy, the truth, the beauty, which is the substratum behind the illusion, that which upholds all of life, is supremely loving, supremely innocent, supremely gentle, supremely joyous. If we could get a sense of the safety in which we dwell in this love-based, wisdom-based universe, we wouldn't sweat the small stuff. We wouldn't allow the little irksome irritations and things to vex our spirit and lower our vibrations. So every time you find a stress and a weariness and that kind of feeling, that is the one that lets you know that you're in an unproductive area and you can choose again. You can choose to get out of that. That's not going to grow you corn, that area that drops your energy. In fact, I'm going to make a very bodacious statement here. Every joyless state is a choice for death. Okay? Every joyless state is a choice for death. Why? Because joylessness is devoid of truth. And only truth has eternal life. And what truth are we speaking of here? We're speaking the truth that God is. That very vitality of joy, that very vitality of energy that is uplifting. And illusion. illusion is the very opposite. It is the very energy of depressive, oppressive sinking into greater and greater unconsciousness until the ultimate unconsciousness is death. But death is the central illusion from which all illusion springs, because that which has been created by God can never cease to exist. So the choice for death is a big choice for nothing, a choice for nothingness. But how many of us know that? That when you choose anything that is not supremely joyous, you've made a choice for something that essentially does not have any reality, and it's going to leave you drained, depleted, and flat. So how do you choose joy? Well, number one, you got to make your life about you. First and foremost, no one is responsible for your life and your state of consciousness but you. You're not a victim of the world you see. You have invented the world you see. You give everything in your life an interpretation, and it is that to you what you have decided it's going to be. You have control over the entire experience of your life, your environment, and even the things that you draw into your life. Because whenever you attack another person through judging or gossiping or criticizing or fault-finding or blaming, that's an attack. You attack yourself, because to attack another is to immediately experience a feeling of being attacked. And when you set that attack in motion, all of a sudden you feel like you're the victim of a world that's out to get you. And all the while, it was a poor choice that you made. It was a choice to embrace the cult of the ego, which I have defined as the cult of againstness. Every time you set yourself against another, you have closed the door to God in that form. Every person is the uniquely begotten Son of God. Every person, when you behold the Christ in them, becomes your Savior. And it is only in beholding the Christ in another that you can recognize the Christ in yourself. So the choice is to be more consciously aware of the choices that you're placing out in how you see things, how you would interpret. How are you going to color your coloring book? Your mind is like a blank canvas, and your thoughts are like the paints. And you choose the hue that you're going to color your blank canvas with. Allow the Holy Spirit to hold your hand and to teach you how to be a master painter, a Rembrandt, a Michelangelo of your own life. Color every moment the way you would have it be. How would you like your world to be? How would you like today to be? How would you like this Christmas to be? Do you know that you have complete choice how you will experience this Christmas or this Hanukkah, this festival of light? So what's it going to be? You know, it takes great learning, quoting Jesus in the Course of Miracles, to understand that all things, all events, all encounters and circumstances are helpful, and that it's only to the extent to which they are helpful that any degree of reality should be accorded to them in this world of illusion. And so the word value can apply to nothing else. So have you learned that lesson? If so, that you're in that category of being an advanced teacher of God. Have you gotten to that point where you understand that all things all events, encounters, and circumstances are helpful, are useful, are there because you have allowed, invited, created, promoted, and welcomed them in some form. They're there by your request. I don't care how gnarly the situation is, or the person is, or the condition is. It's there by your invitation and request. Oh, no, not at a conscious level, because who would choose pain when you could choose the joy of the Lord instead? That unconscious part of us that doesn't, you know, it doesn't have a clue. That's the part that chooses hell when it could have heaven. That's the part that sits and sucks its thumb in darkness and drinks itself to oblivion, or shoots up whatever, or snorts up whatever to oblivion. It's that part. And you can choose. You can take authority over that spirit of addiction and cast it out of your life through the strength and authority of the Christ within you. And you can bind it, consign it into the nothingness from which it has emerged. Because everything brutal and ugly and negative is an illusion that will vanish in the love of God. Not one of those things will be imported into the new earth. Not one. So don't run them up on a flagpole now and make a big deal in saluting them, because they're not worth it. They are discontinuous momentums that have now ended cycle. All of those negative things in the world are having the plug pulled. They're not going to be negative beings. They're not allowed to reincarnate. The old conditioned people are dying off, and the young people are coming in. And if these young people can stay centered in their truth and not buy into the expectation of the people that will try to make them into the old guard, they have a chance of bringing in new energy to their countries. And so let's pray and bless. Let's bless. Let's send blessings to all the young leaders that are now coming in to positions of world leadership. Let's speak blessings of wisdom and open hearts, compassion, new vision, and new insight to get the ball rolling in this new momentum, this new advancing wave of light that is now engulfing our planet and our solar system and our universe. And we're doing this wonderful, one universe is lapping over the other. I think I've described this before. You have two universes, and they're coming now together and overlapping. And the point where they meet in the center forms another little circle of the overlap. It's called the Vesica Pisces in sacred geometry. That is the doorway that they speak of into the next dimension. That is the doorway, the dimensional portal, if you will. Stargate, which is kind of a lame word to use because it's so magnificent and huge. It's much bigger than that, but you can look at it as a portal. And that's what we're passing through now. That's what we're passing through. So in the overlapping, for a while, there's going to be a blending of the old and the new, but at some point, the shift is irrevocable and so total that it's going to blot out all the former, and we go on in the new momentum, as if the past, with all of its travail, had never even existed. So always choose out of your strength. Choose out of your faith. Choose out of your gentleness. Choose out of your heart of compassion. Always choose joy. When you've chosen joy, you've chosen the loving. But we kind of overuse that word, the loving and love, to where we just kind of say, oh yeah, we got to be love. But I'll tell you, very, very few people have ever experienced love. They've experienced lust, attachment, affection, bondage, addictive demands being fulfilled for a time. That's called marriage. They've experienced many, many emotional engagements with others. But when you love, there is no element of personality in it whatsoever. There is no personal in love. As long as there's a personal agenda, you're in conditioned attachment, expectation, and addictive demands. And you will be disappointed. And you will be disappointed for the simple reason that you're not going to be awarded for falsehood, but only supported by the truth. And the truth is, you are the very love that you seek. You are an embodiment of God's love, the only vehicle of all of the creatures in creation, the only one particularly crafted to be a chalice, a holy grail, an ark of the covenant of God's love, wisdom, and power. Nobody else, nothing else. Only the human. And only the human that chooses back. You've all been chosen, but you must choose into this higher calling and commission. It isn't earned by default. It is a conscious choice that you must exercise while you're in the labyrinth of time and space, being and becoming, or choices can be made. So notice whenever anything joyless creeps across your holy brow, any sense of fatigue or worry, any anxiety, any sense of victimization, lack, impoverishment, any hint of weakness and incapacity, go beyond and choose life. Choose joy. And give the very thing that you would have. In other words, if you want more joy, see how you can bring joy to others. Say those words that cause people to have greater faith in themselves, a greater sense of self-esteem and well-being. Point out the divine, the holy, the uplifting, the beautiful, the praiseworthy, the admirable. The greatest gift we can ever give a human being, another brother and sister, is appreciation. That's the greatest gift we can give another. Appreciation for who they are, for their unique, quirky, whatever, warts and all, presentation in the human form. See how you can build another up if you want to stand tall in your own divine, radiant, blissful self. See how you can bring a smile and a sense of comfort and upliftment and encouragement and empowerment and strength to everyone that God sends across your way. Ask, how can I be truly useful here to this person? What can I say? What can I do here that will lift the energy to the next level, that will give them a sense of, yes, I can do this. I think most of us can remember a person, maybe more, that said something that was like a light for a whole lifetime. Very often it's a school teacher. Someone said something to us that lit a spark of hope and vision in our hearts that we've carried for our whole life. That person was the light bringer to you. So be the bringer of light. Be the bringer of joy. Be the bringer of vision. Be the bringer of encouragement. To encourage means to give heart strength to another. Give them heart strength. Encouragement. And always encourage yourself. When the false voice of the lower self, the negative, negating self, tries to speak to you, immediately counter it. Don't allow the courting of any kind of negative spiel, whether from your own mind or in the environment around you. Simply do not give it any wiggle room into your heart mind at all. Know that every negative, evil-speaking voice is a liar. Why? Because the father of lies, that old lying reptilian in the Garden of Eden, first thing that father of lies implied was to doubt the oneness that we have with God, to doubt that we're made in the image and likeness of God, to doubt the safety with which we are forever in the love of God, to doubt that we are of the tree of life and have no need whatsoever for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was a poor choice that we opted, and we're still working through. However, when you're tossed lemons, a wise person is going to make lemonade, and the sweetening is your option, whether you sweeten it or not. But the only thing that's going to sweeten your life is a choice to love God. It's a choice to love others. It's a choice to overlook all of the frailty and the foibles and the foolishness that we all generate, all the mistakes and the stupid things that we do when we're in stupid mode and unconscious mode. We've got to learn to look beyond that and see the face of our dearest beloved in everyone. That's the choice. But when you do that, you will find that you're moving quickly into the higher states of consciousness. You're moving beyond the pull of karma and reincarnation. You are setting yourself free through grace. You are following the Christ. You are letting the words of Christ come alive in you. You are being born the Lord. You are being born the Christ. You are being born the Enlightened One. And behold, you see a world very different than the one who has not made that choice sees. You see a world that is perfectly safe in the love of God. You see a world that you know the outcome is going to be one of joy, where every tear is wiped away from every eye, and death and pain and suffering are no more. You're going to see a world in which the Christ is the King, and His kingdom has been restored everywhere. Who is the ambassador, the bringer of that kingdom to earth? You, beloved. Only you. Only you were sent forth from the heart of God to bring His kingdom to bear upon earth. And you do that with every choice for love, with every choice for joy, with every choice for truth, and every choice for life. The choice for God is always a choice for greater life. That is why, to have a strong immune system, if you look at people who do, they always have a positive, loving, outgoing, joyful, and grateful approach to life. That's what boosts your immune system. People rarely get sick when they stay in the higher consciousness. So if you want to avoid taking on the various maladies that people seem to like to have, and various seasons. Learn to stay in the higher vibrations of joy and gratitude and love and praise and gentleness and defenselessness. Guard your tongue. If it isn't edifying and uplifting to another, zip it. Don't ever say to another person what you would not want to have said to you. Never do to another person what you would hate to have anyone do to you. Put yourself in another person's shoes before you assume the arrogance to judge them and condemn them. Because I tell you, whoever and whatever you judge, you're going to have to walk that path, because the judgment draws that experience that you've judged to yourself, and you've just tied yourself into another reincarnational round. And when it's all said and done, you're going to be asked one question by the Lord. Have you learned a lesson of love? How much love did you give on the planet in your lifetime? How many times have you made the choice for love? You know, even foolish love is better than no love. Even attached love, even lustful love, even desire-driven expectation-ridden love is better than no love, because often we love in our infancy until it is ripened into selfless, pure, divine love. So however you love, whatever you love, whether it's your goldfish or your dog or whatever, doesn't matter. Love is the path to God. The choice for love is always a choice that you make with Christ. It is always a choice that's right. As I said, even if it's ego-driven love, it doesn't matter. Practice love until it becomes the only thing that's left in you. And when it's the only thing left in you, the only thing you'll ever experience is the deepest, quiet, most quiet, serene peace, the greatest bubbling, blissful joy. And everything that you look at will look like the face of Christ and the halls of heaven. And I don't mean to be metaphorical here. I'm talking very literally. When all you want to see is the face of the Beloved, and that's all you really want to see, that's all you will see. But it's a choice, and it's a choice that only you can make. Now, as we enter this sacred season of Hanukkah, Festival of Light, celebration of a great miracle that happened to the Jewish people, as we celebrate the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, into this level, let's also celebrate the birth of the light into the manger of our heart, into this food body that has been created to evolve into a bliss body. And let's ask that we be advanced this evening to that next level in which we integrate and move into the bliss body, Ananda Rupa. And teach us, O Lord, how to live in joy, how to choose joy, how to let joy be our guide and our way shower into this new dispensation. I wish you all a happy Hanukkah and a most blessed Christ Mass. The next time we'll be speaking, we will have celebrated a new year of 2012. I send blessings of love and pray a baptism of supernatural, divine joy and love to be visited to every man, woman, and child on this planet. I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, with which I bless you this evening. And let's go out chanting, Anahyu. Deep breath. Anahyu.